Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lackawanna Valley Coaches Show. Dick Newman bringing the this morning and Paul Ramo at his usual position. But the boss is coming in to pinch hit here for Paul, as he's got to go watch his granddaughter play basketball. So we'll have a treat with both Paul and Maynard this morning. We're going to start things off talking with Hank Ireland on wrestling. Had two events this past week, a nice quadrangular on Tuesday on Tuesday night in Montevideo, and then a tournament down in Lamberton last night. So let's start off on Tuesday night there, Hank. Had a good night.
Tuesday night was a busy night. We had our United versus Cancer night. We raised some money to donate to the fight against cancer. So that was a nice little deal that Montevideo School put on for us. And we also had senior parent night and youth night. So it was a busy night in Montevideo, especially with three duels for Team United. We started off against a tough West Central area team. Eli Olson got us started with the tech ball. Then Gavin Mortensen, he got a 10-4 decision for us to make the lead 9-0. Then Tygan Long was winning his match, and then he ended up getting pinned late in the match against West Central's Evan Dingwall. Then Ben Gunlickson got a pinfall in 16 seconds.
Wow.
Then Grayson Olson shot in on a tough Owen Gruco and both taken down, then got rolled through and pinned. Holland Shocker got a pinfall for us in the second period. Dan Gunlickson got a pinfall. Cameron Saffer got a pinfall. So we really took a nice lead there. And then Brian Rohde went out against a ranked opponent and ended up getting pinned late in the second. Mason Peterson wrestled a tough match and saving team points and lost 7-0. And at 189, Parker Boffin lost a tight match in overtime. A 5-3 decision. Zach DeBeer went and got a pinfall for us, and then Brady Rohde wrestled state-ranked Will Rustin and won 2-1 match, smart match for Brady.
Yep.
And Team United ended up winning 41-24 over West Central area. Then we moved over to another conference opponent with Sauk Center Melrose. And usually Eli Olson is our 107-pounder, but he's running into match count. He can only wrestle 45 matches in a year. So we decided to sit him this one. So we put Griffin Johnson, who's a seventh grader, in there. And he was winning in the third period, and then he ended up getting turned, and then he ended up getting pinned late in the match. So that was a tough one to see him lose, but he wrestled very well for a seventh grader getting put in there.
Yes, he did.
Then we had Nelson Velazquez at 114. He won a tight 5-4 match. Then Tygan Long got back on track and got a pinfall in the first period. Ben Gunlickson got another pin in 45 seconds. Then Grayson Olson ran into another tough kid, Noah Christians, and ended up getting tech balled. Adrian Norman went out there at 139 for us and wrestled a tight match and then ended up getting pinned late in the match. Holland Shocker got a pinfall for us. Dan Gunlickson got a pinfall for us. Cameron Saffer received a forfeit. Mason Peterson wrestled a tight match and ended up losing 6-2 up at 172. Then at 189, Parker Boffin got a pinfall for us. Landon Olson went in at 215. He got a pinfall in the first period. And then Brady Rohde ended the match with another pinfall. The final score ended up being United 51, Sauk Center 20. Then we had our last duel of the night was against Tracy Milroy Ballatin, and they're a tough team. We knew that coming in, and we had a lot of good state-ranked kids, wrestling state-ranked kids. Eli Olson started us off with a major decision, winning 12-0. And then we had Nelson Velazquez go out there, and he ended up getting a major decision for us, 13-4. And then Tygan Long had a back-and-forth match. He had him on his back, and he was on his back. It was just a back-and-forth match, but then Tygan ended up getting pinned in a second. Then at 127, Ben Gunnlaugsson wrestled a last year state champ, Devin, and Carter ended up winning 15-4. And then Grayson Olson was at 133, ended up losing a 10-2 decision. Colin Shocker got us back in the winning ways and won a 7-1 decision. Dan Gunnlaugsson got a pinfall in 45 seconds. Then at 152, Cameron Sather lost a tight match 7-5. At 160, Mason Peterson wrestled a real tough match, and again, he just keeps fighting that Mason. He lost 8-5 in that match against the state-ranked opponent. Then at 172, Brian Rohde lost by a pinfall. Then Parker Bothan won a 3-1 decision at 189. At 215, Zach DeBeer wrestled a tight match against state-ranked Martinez, and he ended up losing 7-3, and that was a good match for Zach, though. And then Brady Rohde won by a forfeit. And so the final score ended up being TMB 29, United 26. So we lost a tight one there. And I know we left a whole lot of team points out there. We had guys on their back, and they got off their back. And we lost a few majors there at the end, missed a few majors for us. So it was one that we definitely could have turned around and won. But it was when the winning team only scores 29 points, you know, that's a tight duel. That's a good duel meet for us.
Oh, yeah, and it was an exciting match. I know Danny remarked in his broadcasting part that it's almost looking like some of these matches that are held down the state tournament. And this is the year for Tracy. Nine seniors in their lineup, and a number of them are ranked hard, and we always talk about the you're as good as the person that you wrestle with in the wrestling room, and they kind of have five or six state-ranked kids spread out in their lineup so that the wrestler on either side of them, lighter or heavier, get wrestle with a state-ranked wrestler, and it's really paying off for them. And the only thing is they have to go through Jackson County Central. You'll never see them again this year because they're in Class A. But a great duel meet, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Both Tracy and West Central, they're both going to contend for their section come the end of the year. So,
yep.
That was some good duel meets. And, then yesterday we went down to Lamberton for a high water ethanol invite. And there was 13 teams there, so it's a good duel meet. It was a late night, but it's good to get it in on a Friday.
Okay.
And Eli Olson, he was at 107 for us, and he went 3-0, and he was the champion. He had three pinfalls, one in the second period and two in the first period, and he was the champion down there.
Good.
So that was awesome to see Eli win another tournament this year. Then at 114, we had two wrestlers in at 114. Gavin Mortensen, he went 2-2 on the day and ended up placing fourth. He had two pinfalls as well. And then Nelson Velazquez, he went 1-2 1-2 on the day. Actually, 2-2 on the day. Sorry, and ended up getting fifth.
Okay.
So it was good for Nelson to get in there and get a pinfall. And him and Gavin actually met up in the tournament, and Gavin won since he was a scorer for the team. But yeah, those two were having a good tournament. I know Nelson wrestled a Pipestone wrestler who was second in state last year, and he gave him everything he wanted. So that was awesome to see those two get in there in place.
Yeah, and some of these invitationals, weight classes, light a person, and another team has an entry, and they also have an alternative. They can slip them in there. So that's why two people from United wrestled.
Yep, they like to get it to at least eight-man brackets, and that's
sure.
what that was.
Yep.
And then at 121, Tygan Long, he lost his first match, and he fought back and won his next two, and then he was in the third-place match and was winning that one and ended up losing it. So he was real close to third, but ended up getting fourth for us. So it was a good day for Tygan. Ben Gummickson, he won his first two matches, made it to the finals, and was winning that tight match against an undefeated Pipestone wrestler and ended up losing. So it was a good day for Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Grayson Olson lost his first one, then won his next one, and then ended up taking sixth place. So Grayson was another one that we got in at 127 along with Ben, so it was good to see both those guys get in there in place. At 133, Holland Shocker, he won his first two, then he lost a tough Trey Gunderson from KMS, and then he ended up winning his next two to take third place. He also had two pinfalls on the day. At 139, Dan Gunlickson, he went 3-0 on the day with a pinfall, a tech, and then just a decision, and he was a champion at 139. I think that's Dan's fourth individual tournament win this year, so he's still undefeated, 36-0 on the year. He's having quite an amazing year.
Yes.
At 145, Cameron Saffer went 2-1. He was in the finals, he was winning the match, and then ended up getting turned and caught and pinned, so it was a tough end for Cam. I know he was hoping to win that one, but still wrestled pretty well and had two pinfalls on the day to take second. Mason Peterson was at 152, and he ran into some tough kids, ended up losing 8-2 and 5-1, and he did not place. At 160, Brian Rohde ran into a couple tough kids again and couldn't quite get the matches together. Second match, he ended up losing a tight one, 11-5, so good to get some matches in for Brian. Then at 172, Noah Meyer, he went 2-2 on the day and ended up taking fourth place. And at 189, Parker Bothan was 2-1 on the night with one pinfall and one decision. And in the finals, he lost 8-6, so that was a real close match for Parker to take second. At 215, Zach DeBeer went 2-1 on the day, lost a 4-3 decision in the finals to take second. Then at 285, heavyweight Brady Rohde took second place. He got a pinfall in 32 seconds in the first round and then won a 3-0 decision over the third-ranked kid in state. In the semifinals and in the finals, lost a tight match to a highly ranked wrestler from Adrian. So good day for Brady, and the Team United ended up taking first place in that tournament. That was our goal heading in. I know a few more of those guys were hoping to be champions, but overall a good day for United. Another first place finish, and on to next week. And now today, the ninth grade leaguers are over in Redwood for their individual state qualifier for that ninth grade league. So hopefully we can get a few of those guys to qualify and advance to state next weekend. That'd be good to see for them. Coach Coyle and Coach Bothan are down there right now with them. They should be starting here at 10 o'clock pretty soon.
Okay. How many advance on out of that tournament?
The top two. And that's
just the
all
top
class.
Two. Okay.
Yeah, I think there's about maybe 20-some teams.
Okay.
That send wrestlers. So, yeah, the top two make it.
Okay. And pretty much a full team going down there?
Yep, we had pretty much a full team. I think we had maybe two open weights. So,
okay,
yeah.
good. And that's individually, so, yeah. So.
Yep, individual.
Okay, and then let's look at next week. That's a busy week as well.
Yep, we should be busy. We start on a couple days of practice, and then Thursday we head to Worthington to see a section opponent in Worthington and Mineota. So it's always fun to go up against Mineota, so we'll see where we stand with them. I know we got them last year. We'll see if we can do it again this year.
Yeah, looking at their roster, they're a very, very young team. I think maybe only one, maybe two seniors on that squad, and there's two or three eighth graders, too, on their varsity squad. So they're really a team of the future.
Yep. Yeah, we'll see them in Worthington on Thursday, and then next Saturday we got a pretty big tournament we were hosting in Dawson. So West Central Conference and Camden Conference are kind of coming together to have a tournament. So there'll be 13 teams in Dawson on Saturday, starting at 10 in the morning. We'll have four mats down, so it should roll pretty good, pretty quick, and it should be a great day of wrestling.
Yeah, Q92 will not be there, so if you want to see some outstanding wrestling, get to Dawson and watch that on next Saturday morning and throughout the day, probably medal round, probably in the afternoon sometime. But
yeah, probably around 5-ish, 5:36.
Yep. So, oh, best of luck on that, too, as well. So, anything else, Hank?
Nope, I think we're just going to keep rolling. We got about only 2 weeks left of the regular season, and then it's on to the postseason. So, yeah, it's time to start cranking up it into gear for the postseason.
Yeah, knock on wood, stay healthy and injury-free. I mean, getting towards the end of the season with the competition tightening up and that, it's hard to pull some, or easy to pull some muscles and things like that. Everybody's beaten up a little bit, but a lot of it depends on the mental attitude as well. So.
Yep, for sure.
Well, thanks for the talk this morning. Best of luck on Tuesday, and we'll hear all about that on the Coach's Show next week, but we'll have to find out about the Camden West Central Conference Individual Tournament on the Coach's Show in 2 weeks. So, okay.
Good.
That's Hank Ireland on wrestling. We're going to be talking with Robin Rademacher about boys basketball after this.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. This week at the Country Butcher, New York strip steak, 25% off, fresh or frozen. Pre-order meat bundles, 10% off. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday, by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than one.
When it came time to grow our family, we decided to go to CCM Health. From the moment we walk in the door to the people checking us in, everybody always has a friendly smile, and we just feel heard and cared for from the beginning to the end of our appointments. With the help and the support of my midwife and through the nurses, I was able to recover so much quicker emotionally, physically. I 100% would recommend going to CCM Health. CCM Health helped us grow our family and live our life.
It's time to get on the lake and go after the cuss waiting to be caught. Artie's Bait and Tackle in Ortonville can help. Artie offers fish house rentals on Big Stone Lake, plus augers, electronics, rods, reels, a full line of ice tackle, and a lot of good advice. Get in on the great fishing on Big Stone Lake and start that outing with a visit with Artie Art and the gang at Artie's Bait and Tackle in Ortonville.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to turn our attention to La Caprile Valley Boys Basketball with Head Coach Robin Rademacher. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, I think next week you're probably going to take the boys outside and play basketball outside. It sounds like 50 degrees.
Yeah, we can get the courts cleaned off and work outside. And definitely doesn't feel like January / going to be February weather, but after last week, I'm all for it.
All right. Hey, we've got a couple games to talk about.
Yeah, we got two. We went to, on Saturday, a week ago, we went over to White, South Dakota, which is a part of a Dubrook school, and they do a kind of a border battle, I'd call it, where they match you up with somebody on the South Dakota side, and you get to play. There's boys and girls teams playing there. Pretty neat atmosphere.
Yeah, it's kind of a tournament, right?
Yes and no. I mean, it's kind of like they just bring in teams from all over. You don't play anybody else other than your one game. But, yeah, they got a lot of different schools that are showing up. I think first games tip off ready around 10:30 in the morning, and they go till about 6 o'clock at night. And neat atmosphere, a pretty cool newer gym. It's nothing fancy. It's like a machine shed type of a gym, but great sound system and nice courts.
All right, how'd you do?
Well, we played a team called Lower Brule. It is it's a reservation school located between Chamberlain and Pierre, and perennially a very good basketball program that they have. I think 2 years ago they ended up second in the state in the Class Bs, and last year I think they're right in on the state tournament too. They're always good. We knew coming in that they had some height. I didn't know how much height they had. They run out a 6'8", a 6'7", kid, and they're athletic for their size. Film doesn't always show a lot. We did find some stuff on YouTube about them, so we had a little idea. We know they like to press and run, and that's kind of their tradition that they do, so we knew that we were going to have to be true to the game we wanted to play and make sure we're disciplined. And first quarter was a reminder, it's quarters now in South Dakota, like when we played over in Milbank. We got out to a quick lead. They bounced back, hit shots, and we found ourselves down 21-19 after the first quarter. Second quarter, kind of same thing. We kind of traded blows back and forth, and we ended up being scored 17 to their 14. So we went in the locker room with a two-point lead, and we talked about, hey, we like the way we're playing. We were knocking down a few outside shots, moving the basketball, and really limiting our turnovers. I think we only had three or four. Plus, we didn't give up any too many transition baskets. I know they had an alley-oop dunk somewhere in that second quarter where they got out on the break. But other than that, we did a really good job. Third quarter, we come out, and once again, we just kind of imposed some of our – I know those guys were big and tall, but they wanted to block shots or foul, and we ended up getting a few of them in foul trouble, and we outscored them 14-9, and then we wrapped up the fourth quarter basically just playing good basketball and outscored them 16-8, and we won the basketball game 66-52. I don't quite think they were expecting that. I don't think the fans that were in the area, they looked at our record and said, oh, I didn't realize that. And it was kind of fun to listen to people. Look, where in the world is Lac La Parle? They had no idea. So they were trying to figure out what towns it was. And I felt that was about as good a basketball game as we have played top to bottom, beginning to end on the year.
Good. They play quarters, you're right. You mentioned that?
Yep, they do play quarters, so you get – actually, the game is 4 minutes less, but they give you two more timeouts with the quarter breaks built into it. So it, when you look up and you see 4 minutes to go, you're thinking it's halftime, and then you got to readjust. Remember, hey, it's only the first quarter. the game is played a little different. They don't shoot one-and-ones either in South Dakota. They play five fouls in each quarter is two-shot free throws. So if you get to the five fouls, you're shooting two, but then they reset after each quarter.
Oh, wow, I didn't realize that. Okay, that is different. So
it's a little different strategy. So if you get that three, four fouls on them early in the quarter, you try to attack the hoop, and that's what we did. And we got to the free throw line 11 times on the night. We were 9 of 11 at the free throw line. Just a few things. We shot the ball 52 times, so they're 40. We made 25, so shot right around 50%, you know, 48. They were 20 of 40, so they were filling it up too. We were 7 of 17 from the three-point line. They were 9 of 26. So, the shooting and all those stats were equal. I thought the difference in the game was we out-rebounded them by one. We ended up with 24 to 23 on the rebound side. Assists were equal. The difference in the game is we took care of the basketball. We only had 11 turnovers, and three of those come on offensive fouls. We were really attacking the basket, so we ended up with three offensive fouls, which count toward your turnover. So only having eight turnovers in the game didn't lead to them getting out and running in transition. Pretty equal, I thought. Rebounding-wise, like I said, we did well. TJ led us with eight, and Caden Molden had five. Assists, we were pretty equal across the board with Davis and Molden, each with four. Limited our turnovers. Scoring pretty balanced on that on the night. We had 16 out of Caden Molden, 14 out of Matt Arndt, 10 out of Davis. Those are the three guys we count on scoring. Eli had a nice game with nine. TJ was six. Let's see who else we had. We had Tygan Allpress with a basket. Baxter Kauf with a basket. Brock Biernhild with five. Peyton Rademacher with a basket. Carson Bessonen played but did not score, but you know, it takes care of the basketball on the floor. Overall, like I said, just a great team win. After the game was fun. We took all the kids up to Watertown to Buffalo Wild Wings and had some wings and watched a little football. So the game was great, but everything we did afterwards was kind of fun to get those kids away from the court and do something different because it was just a varsity team experience.
Good. Awesome experience for the boys then on Saturday. That was great.
It is. And you know what? I would say the same thing for the Lower Brule kids, too. It's a team that you're never going to play, something they can talk about as they get older and remember that game and different things like that. So what a fun experience. I want to thank the Dubrick Schools for inviting us, and we told them we'd love to come back next year. It's just a neat atmosphere.
Yep. Okay. And then Thursday night, wow, amazing performance by your boys.
Well, we have that ability. We're slowly clicking. We've struggled throughout the year at different aspects, different parts of the game. And it really kind of started to click for us after the game at home, where we readjusted. We talked about how we want to do things moving forward. And I guess as a goal as a coach is you always want to be playing your best basketball toward the end of the season, not so much at the first. I know we still got a whole month of the season to go, but it seems like we've turned the corner and we're playing better team basketball, not so much individual. And it kind of shows on the scoreboard right now. And we ended up winning the basketball game. I don't know if you want the good news or bad news. Everybody says it's 100. We won 100-68. I think there was a scoring error. Yep. And maybe we just don't want to talk about that, and we'll leave it at 100-68. Was the final. It was quite entertaining, but it got a little nerve-wracking, even though the score says that at the end, where we won, you know, kind of going away with, we were up 23-24 with about 14 minutes to go, and then you look up at the clock, and it's about 8 to 9 minutes to go, and we're only up 6.
Okay.
They went on a run, and that's kind of been our MO, where we forget the score for a little bit. And they did it, and they made basket after basket, and we fought, and we couldn't get the ball going. And I think the changing point was, remember, right, we had Davis Patzer, got to the hole, got fouled, ended up making a free throw, one or two at the free throw line, and it got us up 7. It just seemed like we saw the ball go through, and from that last 8 minutes on, boy, did we blistered the nets. They had to go man-to-man. We spread to 4, and our guys attacked, and it was a lot of fun. Great crowd. I'm going to say what set the tone is, we have some young gentlemen that like to sing, and they sing the national anthem for us. We had one John, Jason, Sepson, and Christian. Four Micronesian boys that they can sing, and they sang the national anthem, and boy, did they do an amazing job. I don't know if you're on Facebook or any of that stuff. Yep. I don't have it.
I saw it. It was amazing.
Yeah, they did an amazing job, and it just kind of fired up the crowd. It fired up our kids. And I tip my hat to those boys for having the courage to go out there and stand in front and do that. And I just think it led into it, and the crowd was really into the game. Super nice crowd at the game for the boys. And I think, you know, from the last time we played at home, we wanted to get that taste out of our mouth from the Canby game, and I think we did that. We went in the locker room up 45-29, and we didn't let up in the second half. And like I said, anytime you can come out with a win in the West Central, in the Camden Conference, you know, they're kind of the leading team in the South half, or one of the top teams down there.
Yeah, they have 10 wins coming into that game.
Yeah, they're a quality basketball team. And anytime you can get a win in the Camden Conference, you feel good about it. And I was really happy for the kids, for the program. We won all three games, the C squad, the B squad, and the varsity. And a fun moment to come back in the locker room. The kids were really excited, and they earned it. Like I said, we've been on a roller coaster, ups and downs, and that was one of the highs of the season. And we want to keep building. As we said, we want to keep adding blocks to that. To that building, and we did it on the night.
All right, stats on the night?
We shot the ball really well. Both teams actually did. We were 32-64, 50%. They shot it at a 41% clip. The difference on the night is we knocked down some outside shots. We were 15-29 from the three-point line. They were 7-16, so both teams did well. One, I'm really proud. We work on it a lot. We put a little pressure on the kids shooting free throws. We got to the line a lot on the night, and that's the difference. We're not settling always for the outside shots. We were 19-22 from the free throw line for 86% as a team. We did a great job on the rebounds. That's starting to come around. We out-rebounded them 45-28. We had 22 team assists, 10 steals. Few too many turnovers. A couple of guys early in the game just weren't quite ready, and some mental turnovers. I thought we did a better job in the second half. We ended up with 18 turnovers. We had 3 block shots. TJ did a great job. He played foul trouble all game, but he did do a great job toward the end. He ended up leading us with 14 rebounds, and Caden Molden had 9. Assists, we were led on the night by Carson Besson with 6 assists, and he only had 1 turnover. Carson doesn't score, but he does a nice job of distributing the basketball, keeps it moving. Eli Hegland had 4. Steals are pretty equal, but, leading us with Eli with 3. We had a few guys get 2. Scoring on the night, we were led by Matt Arndt with 31, Davis Patzer with 27, Caden Molden 15. Our first son had a bucket for 2. Brock had 5. Baxter played but did not score. Peyton had a basket. Tygan had a basket and a free throw for 3. TJ had a basket. Like I said, he struggled with the fouls, but like I said, he had 14 rebounds on the night. And then what I said again, Carson didn't score, but he did a great job of distributing the basketball. I thought a couple keys to the whole game was Eli and Caden Molden starting off in man-to-man. They have 2 guys that can really fill it up. Those 2 gentlemen playing tough defense. And then we rotated Davis in there for a while, but those 2 guys locked up with their guys and held them both to 7 points each in the first half. And that was really deflating for them. So I was really pleased with those guys buying in. They sacrificed maybe some scoring, but their defense really stood out on the night.
All right. And big night offensively for Matthew Arndt and Davis Patzer, huh?
Yeah, well, they took good shots. Matthew didn't score. He didn't even take a 2-point. He only took a couple 2-point attempts. He was 8 of 12 from the 3-point line, 7 of 7 from the free throw line. Davis did the same thing, too. You know, he attacked the basket in the second half. He got himself to the free throw line. He got there 7 times, and Matthew got there 7 times. So those 2 guys, Davis was 6 of 7, and Matthew was 7 of 7. So they weren't settling for shots. They were taking what was given to them. And I think the whole overall all night, all guys were taking good shots.
All right, really nice conference win for you then. Good. What's coming up next?
We don't have much time off. We turn on Monday. We go to RCW, a team that's been competitive throughout the year. We have those guys on the road on Monday, and then Thursday night at home, we got Mineota coming over, and that's a big another conference game and kind of a section seeding game, as they have a pretty nice record, and I believe they played Dawson pretty tough, but we get them at home, and that's going to be a competitive game. Those kids know each other pretty well, competing against each other throughout the years.
All right, and I'll be out there Thursday with that broadcast of the Vikings and the Eagles. Should be a really good matchup there.
Yeah, we like to hope so. We get them at home, but we got to come out ready to play.
All right, thanks a lot, Robin, for the report this morning. Appreciate it, and we'll talk to you next Saturday.
All right, thanks a lot. Have a good week.
Yep. Robin Rodmacher, head coach of the Lock Brawl Valley Boys basketball team. We'll take a break, come back with more of the Coach's Show right after this.
Sunday on an all-new Prairie Sportsman.
To Elk Hunt, Minnesota, you have to be drawn for a once-in-a-lifetime tag.
So this corner of the state is very unique because we have elk up here in the northwest corner.
PFAS are everywhere. They were used in what tends to make these chemicals really good at what they do tends to make them really bad for the environment.
We are standing next to some wild grapes. Always a treat.
Sunday at 7:30 p.m. on Pioneer PBS.
Let's take a look at some things going on around the area this weekend. Come and go bridal shower for McKenna Waldo, bride-to-be of Wyatt Halverson. Will be held today at Faith Lutheran Church in Madison from 9 to 11 this morning. Brunch at the Bellingham American Legion will be from 10:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. today. On the menu, pancakes, waffles, eggs, and sausage. Be a mimosa and Bloody Mary bar. $6 for those 6 to 12, free for 5 and under. That event hosted by the Sons of the American Legion today at the Bellingham Legion. Sunday, there will be a benefit pancake brunch for Pastor Bruce Bringle. That will be at Madison VFW from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Garfield Lutheran and Lackparo Lutheran Churches are hosting this benefit brunch to help Pastor Bringle and his family offset some very significant costs for his health care challenges this past year. On the menu, regular or blueberry pancakes, sausage, and fruit. It's a free will donation event at the VFW on Sunday in Madison. Also on Sunday, St. Peter's Catholic Church in Canby is hosting a cream turkey on biscuits luncheon from 11 to 1. It'll be at the church social hall. On the menu, cream turkey over biscuits, coleslaw, pie a la mode, and a beverage. There will be free will donations taken with dine-in or takeout available. Handicap seating is available. Call 507-223-7729 for takeouts on Sunday. On Sunday, there will be a loaded baked potato bar fundraiser at the Marietta Fire Hall from 11 to 1, followed by bingo at 1. That's a free will donation event. On the menu, baked potato with choice of toppings, salads, bars, juice, milk, takeouts, and in-town delivery available by calling 320-668-2153 on Sunday. This event sponsored by the Marietta Hometown Days Committee, and proceeds will be benefiting the building of a community center in Marietta. Note a change in worship time at the First Congregational Church in Appleton on Sunday. Worship will be at 11 a.m. rather than 9 a.m. The annual meeting of the congregation will follow the service, and after this Sunday, services will go back to 9 a.m. That's at the First Congregational Church in Appleton. See a movie, Madison, showing Friday the 26th through Monday the 29th of January in Theater One. It's musical Mean Girls, rated PG-13. That's Mean Girls in Theater One. And in Theater Number 2 at the Grand, a romantic comedy, Anyone But You, rated R. Both show at 7 o'clock nightly, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand. On this 27th day of January, we say happy birthday to Jerry Stensrud, Sue Christopher, Melanie Gallegos of Canby. Happy anniversary on Saturday to Gary and Betty Joe Redepenning in Madison. And then on Sunday, happy birthday to Amy Nemitz in Canby, Melissa Malachek and Connie Group. Hope you all have a super day and a great weekend.
Trust Carrie Harding of Southwest Insurance Services in Canby and Grinnell Mutual to look forward on your livelihood. We understand you have a lot at stake in your small business. That's why we offer specialized insurance coverages so you can take care of business. Find the coverages you need to fit your company's operations so you can trust in tomorrow. Contact Carrie Harding, your local Grinnell Mutual agent, at 507-223-7248 today. Trust in Tomorrow is a registered trademark of Grinnell Mutual Reinsurance Company. Paul Ramo here, back at the Coach's Show. We're going to visit with head coach Dylan Erickson of the Lock Pearl Valley girls basketball team. Dylan, we've got three games to talk about this week.
Yeah, we got a full schedule. You know, last week I think it was only we only had one or two to talk about, but yeah, we got a full schedule last week here, and you know, we can start a week ago. We traveled to the Dakota Valley Classic, and we were the first game to kind of tip off in White, South Dakota at Dubuque. We ended up.
So that's kind of a South Dakota, Minnesota thing, right?
Yeah, so it was all South Dakota schools in the Dakota Valley for the most part, and then some Camden Conference schools, some teams from down south, and kind of spread out. It's not all Camden versus Dakota Valley, but that's what they're trying to, I think, trend toward a little bit. So, yeah, it was a South Dakota school versus a Minnesota school all day long from basically, I don't know, I think the first game tipped off at 10:30 in the morning, and the last one was at 6, 7 o'clock at night. So they had two sites going. Elkton and then in White there. So, yeah, kind of a cool experience for us. So, you know, you go down there and play in it with a different basketball, a Baden basketball, and four quarters, and the shot clock doesn't reset to 20, it resets to 35. And there's just, you know, when you get to you play the quarters, then you play four 8-minute quarters, so then you get the double bonus right at five fouls. You know, you're not shooting any one-on-ones and things like that. So kind of unique and different situation to kind of be in. But, yeah, so we got matched up with St. Mary's out of Del Rapids there. You know, a team that had some nice guards, a little bit of length and size. But the biggest part that we struggled with was just their foot speed. We were just a step slow kind of all day and, you know, didn't, you know, coming off the back-to-back games from Friday night, we just weren't real energized. And, you know, it took us, we were still up after the first quarter. But then after the first quarter, they kind of took off on us and they got up by 10-12 and it kind of sat there. For late in the second half, they went on another run, and we were rotating some girls in. And so, yeah, we ended up being down 33-14 at half, and then dropping it 56-26. Like I said, we were up after the first quarter. Believe it or not, I think it was 11-9 after the first quarter, and then we just kind of went cold, and our legs hit us a little bit, and yeah, we just did not react very well to some of the things they did. But again, like I said, their foot speed was just, we were just chasing all day long, it seemed like, and our effort and energy level just wasn't quite where it needed to be. I can just go through some scoring on the night. Kaya Kranz had a bucket. Claire Borsett had 4 points. Brandy Meyer had 5 points. Callie Kahn had 6 points. Kendall Shelsett had 3 points. And Kayla Jan had 6 points for us, kind of round out the scoring on that one.
And that was last Saturday.
That was a week ago, yep, last Saturday. We played them, and then on Tuesday, KMS, a really good team at the top of our conference, came to Lock Barrel to for a little Camden North matchup, our second time seeing them now, second time through the conference. And again, we played probably our best half of basketball we've played this year. We played 15 really solid minutes. At one point, we were up 17 to 15, I think it was. They hit a couple shots, but the point I really remember is it was 21 to 17. We're down with like 2.5 minutes to go in the half, and they hit a three. We turned over a couple times. We didn't box out on one rebound. They got it back and scored, and that's where they went on their 10-12-0 run to kind of end the half. But the first 15 minutes, we were right there back and forth, shot the ball pretty well, you know, did some really nice things. And then it was just that one run at the end of the half, that, you know, 2.5 minute spurt they had to get up 36-19 at half. And it was 17 to 15 or something like that at one point. And yeah, then it was, they were at, I just remember the key point, we missed a box out and they hit a three. It was 21 to 17 at that point. So you can see the kind of run they went on to end the half then, you know. And then, you know, played right with them for the most part in the second half. They just outscored us 26-14. We lost 62 to the score, and it seems like, oh, you know, a 29-point loss. But it really didn't have that feel for the majority of the game. We were right in it, you know, back and forth. It was just the spurts they went on that we just couldn't react to and score back at it. So,
stats on the night?
Yeah, stats on that one. Leading us in scoring, playing a much better game, was Jalen Lee with 15 points. Brandy Meyer had 2 points. Jada Kessler had 4 points. Callie Kahn had a bucket. And Kayla Jan had 10 points for us. So that kind of rounds out our scoring for the night on that one. So, again, another nice team. But, again, I was really pleased with the first half we played and moments throughout the whole game. And, like I said, we start putting full halves together and things like that. It's going to start clicking because that's probably the best you know, half for sure. But even in the entire game, we've played to date.
Okay.
And then you look at last night. Ortonville came over for, again, a second time seeing them, and, you know, that's our one and only victory of the year so far, so hoping to, you know, double our wins last night. And, you know, it was a really slow start. I know if you listen to the game last night, we sat at 2-2 for a long time and 4-4 for a long time, and then Kendall Shelstead kind of opened it up for us, knocking down a few threes in that first half to kind of get us some breathing room, get us, you know, it was 13-3, and just kind of kept that 10-12-point distance there. On that run,
she had four threes in the first half.
She had four total in the first half, and she kind of kept us going in that first half. You know, things weren't easy. They sat in a 1-3-1 zone in the first half, and we just weren't knocking down clean looks when we had them. And, you know, just we were kind of stagnant too, and kind of played, you know, at the pace that they wanted to play at. And but again, we go up at half 27-16. You know, had a little bit of foul trouble with a few girls with three fouls, and so you know. We're down Claire Borstead still at that point, so you know, just trying to find some depth for some girls on the bench to get some legs underneath us. And then again, second half they came out and they played a 2-3 zone, and you know, at times we handled it pretty well and moved the basketball, but it was just a slower pace, mucky up, you know, the middle of the paint and make a shoot from the outside. And we ended up scoring them 21-15 in the second half and came away with our second win of the year with a 48-31 win. So, again, a win's a win. We deserve one. They work so hard. It's fun to get one and reward the girls that way and, you know, energize us for this last little stretch of the season here where there's a lot of winnable games we have coming forward. So scoring on the night, Jalen Lee had 10 points for us. Again, foul trouble, a long stretch in that second half. Callie Kahn had 10 points. Kendall Shelstead had 18. And Kayla Jan had 12. So, again, that kind of rounds out our scoring for the night. But, again, really pleased with how we played and just took care of business, really. And looking forward to next week.
It was a very physical game. I got to tip my hat to Callie Kahn. She must have a lot of bruises on her body this morning because I think we had her for a lot of rebounds, maybe 15, 17 rebounds. And, boy, she was really getting after it.
Yeah, that Claire Kellen is a physical girl underneath there. And worked really hard, so Callie kind of had a battle with her all night, and it was physical, found herself on the ground quite a bit. And but there was a lot of fouls called both ways. It was, you know, especially in that first half, both of us are shooting in the double bonus in each half, and they have girls with 3-4 fouls, and we have 2 girls with 4 fouls. Callie and Jalen had 4 fouls. So, again, it was, you know, kind of a slower-paced game and a lot of stop time, it seemed like. Yep. And there was really no either way really got a real good flow and rhythm going throughout the game. Maybe that, you know, when Kendall hit those first couple threes, you know, when we kind of got our first little lead, maybe that was probably the best flow we had, rhythm. Otherwise, everything else just seemed so choppy throughout the night. And, you know, whistles here, whistles there. And, again, against that zone, there wasn't a whole lot of movement. So we had to kind of create that in some of our passing and stuff. We just, again, learning how to win is tough and, you know, and handling situations. But, again, the more we're in them, the better we're going to get. And so, yeah, excited for the stretch we have ahead.
All right. And what's on your schedule for next week then?
Yeah, next week, RCW. So we'll see them for the first time, comes to Lock Barrel. And then we're home again against Prinsburg on Friday. And then we travel to Pipestone on Saturday for a noon and a 1:30 game. So make that trip down there.
Be nice to pick up a couple more wins.
Yeah, it would be. It would. You know, I was just telling the girls too. You know, we're still a lot of implications that we have. You know, for the season. You know, we can get a few more wins there. We can get ourselves into the top side of the play-in game. Or you never know what happens with some of these other teams. So again, if we get some more wins throughout the stretch here, the last 7-8 games we have, you know, we have a chance to boost ourselves there a little bit for matchup wise.
All right, real good, Dylan. Thanks for your time on the Coach's Show here this morning. I know out at Lock Barrel Valley today, a lot of people out here. You got a big tournament.
A lot of people out here. Yeah, we got 4th, 5th, and 6th boys and girls basketball. So, yeah, full gyms. We got 4 courts rolling and all the kids out here working. And, yeah, a lot of people out there. And so it's going to be a fun day and fun atmosphere of basketball.
We have a lot of my family here today because my granddaughter plays for Montevideo. And my granddaughter Greta was really excited to. Her first game this morning is against Lock Barrel Valley. She couldn't wait. And my pastor is assistant coach for the 5th grade girls.
Oh, very cool. A lot of connections, and that's fun.
It's fun. Yeah, it's a fun time. It'll be a fun time out here. How many teams are out here, do you know?
Oh, boy. I think, you know, for most grades, other than 6th grade girls, there's 3 or 4 teams per grade.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah, well, plenty going on out here. Yeah, the courts will be busy, that's for sure.
And you can come out and see the future Eagles that you'll be coaching. Huh?
That's right. That's exciting to come watch them and see them come along. You know, kind of see them bouncing in practice once in a while, see them out here after our practice and stuff. So it's kind of fun to follow them along and kind of, you know, watch them grow, too, in the process of it. So,
all right. Thanks a lot, Dylan, for your time.
Awesome. Appreciate it. Go Eagles.
Head coach Dylan Erickson of the Eagles will take a commercial break. Come back with more of the Coach's Show right after this.
Are you tired of generic furniture that lacks character? Elevate your living space with one-of-a-kind custom woodwork from Tom Ludvigson at T&D Barnwood Rustics. Turn your dreams into handcrafted reality. Imagine the perfect dining table, a unique bookshelf, a bar for your man cave, all designed just for you. Call Tom to schedule your consultation. Transform your space with custom woodwork from T&D Barnwood Rustics, where every piece tells a story. Unleash the beauty of custom woodworking today. Tom also does floor overlays. Talk to Tom today. Give him a call at 605-695-5292.
Sophisticated technology combined with heartfelt care. Get the best of both when you place the care of your eyes with Heartland Eye Care Centers. Our comprehensive eye exam goes beyond a prescription for glasses or contacts. We look at the big picture when it comes to your eye health, taking the time to get to know you, your eye care history, and your vision needs. We make it our friends, neighbors, and the surrounding community with quality eye care and optometric expertise in a friendly and caring setting. We're Heartland Eye Care Centers in Marshall, Camby, and Dawson.
Well, let's wrap up the Coach's Show today with some words of wisdom from Dick Newman. How you doing, Dick?
I'm not sure if they're words of wisdom, but...
Well, you're kind of a wise guy, so...
Yeah, you and I both.
Yep.
Well, here's something maybe you didn't know. Interesting facts that wow you.
Okay.
A lot of people are really into technology and the computer and the keyboard, you know... In our day, we had typing classes, but
right.
Basically the same as a keyboard on the computer.
Yep.
Did you know that stewardess is the plural, is the longest word that's typed only with the left hand?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then lollipop is the only word or is the longest word that is typed with your right hand.
Okay, I would just try it out while you're talking.
Lollipop.
There. That's probably right.
With your right hand.
Okay.
And that the average person left hand does 56% of the typing.
Is that right?
Okay. And then one other thing that no word in the English, You know, the English language is really tough for some foreigners to learn because there's a lot of words that are pronounced the same way with different meanings, like two.
Right.
Two, T-W-O-T-O, and
right.
T-O-O.
Or there, there, and there.
Yeah, there, there, and there. Well, there's a lot of words also rhyme with each other, except four words in the English language that don't rhyme with anything. Mouth, orange, silver, and purple.
What was the first one?
Mouth.
How about south?
I don't know. Yeah. Well, that's what my
the other ones
my
I,
sheet.
But the other ones I can't
orange,
think of.
Orange,
so.
Silver, purple, mouth. M-O, or I'm sorry, month.
Month, okay.
Month.
That makes sense.
M-O-N-T-H.
Okay.
So
that,
those
I can't think of anything on that one.
Yeah.
All right.
So those are some words of wisdom or words that wow you.
I'll be sleeping better tonight.
Anyway, another show down the drain. Thanks for listening. Tune in again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.